This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Solar energy continues to gain popularity across the country, and the Cooley region is no exception. Dairyland Power Cooperative recently announced it's building 3 new solar gardens in neighboring states. It's the latest project to come to the region as more utility companies and individuals look to invest in solar and other renewable energy sources. Joining us now to talk about the market are Craig Harms, Business Development Director for Dairyland Power Cooperative, Mike Harrow, Community Service Manager for Xcel Energy, and Blaine Marcoux, one of the principal owners of Aquila Solar in Wabasha and La Crosse. So Craig, we'll start by having you talk a little bit about the new solar projects that Dairyland recently announced. Where will those projects be located?
Well, we have 3 new ones, each going to be 1.5 megawatts, which will be located in 3 communities in a 3-state area, which is part of our service area. The first one will be located near Decorah, Iowa. The second near Albert Lea, Minnesota. And the third in Thompson, Illinois.
And for people who don't really understand what 1.5 megawatts means, I mean, could you kind of explain, what that means?
Sure, yes. 1 megawatt is equivalent to about 160 homes. When we're talking about solar.
And so I know that Dairyland has, been investing in a lot of solar projects recently. There were, I believe, 15 recently completed. Is this kind of an extension of that?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. In June of 2015, we announced that we were looking for solar projects, and that we were going to do up to 25 megawatts worth of projects, and we call these distributed projects. They're located, they're smaller in scale and located dispersed throughout our service area. And at that time, we selected SoCor Energy out of Chicago and Grow Solar out of Vermont, and recently, Grow Solar was acquired by EDF Renewables, and they teamed up with CMS Energy, and they did one project for us in Phillips, Price County, Wisconsin. It's 2.5 megawatts in scale, and for a time, it was the largest solar project in Wisconsin, which isn't saying much because projects are getting much, much larger now. And then we worked, as I said, with SoCor Energy, and we did an 11 initial projects with them. Then we added another 3 for a total of 14 with SoCor, and of course the one with Grow Solar. And so we have 15 completed as of the end of 2017. And then we said, well, that's 20.5 megawatts. We said we could go up to 20, 25. Let's do another 3 projects. So that'll get us to the 25.
Sneak in a few more.
Yeah.
Why are these distributed projects a good model for Dairyland?
Well, they're a good model because Dairyland, of course, is a wholesale power supplier. And we provide power to 24 member cooperatives and 17 municipal utilities. Now, these electric cooperatives are located around a 4-state service area, western Wisconsin, northeast Iowa, northwest Illinois, and southeast Minnesota. And our member consumers out there, the customer, they like solar. And we said, well, you know, it's a good idea to disperse these because weather patterns can vary. We want to optimize reliability. We don't want to put a lot of money into infrastructure and substations. And most importantly, our member consumers like to see these projects locally. So that's why we opted to go with the smaller projects. And at the time, cost wasn't a big factor. The smaller projects versus a little larger projects wasn't a lot of variability in cost.
Mike, Xcel Energy also has a number of solar projects kind of in the works. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on?
Sure, Hope. The projects that we're embarking on and have for the past couple of years are actually customer subscription type projects. They're not in our power supply mix like we would have. You know, we have wind farms. We have huge solar fields in Colorado and some of our other territories. So for the past two years, we had permission from the Public Service Commission to do a pilot program to construct 3 1-megawatt or 1,000 kilowatt gardens. Just to get a scale of this, these are about 7-acre gardens and have about 3,200 panels, and each of the panels are about 3 foot by 5 foot. So we are allowed to, if we had enough interest from customers, we are allowed to build these 3 gardens. Last year, we constructed our first one up in Eau Claire. It's right next to our headquarters in Eau Claire on the south side. This year, this summer, we're going to be building our second garden in the La Crosse area. It'll be near our substation in Cashton. And both of those gardens, we have subscribed those to about 95%. And the way the subscription works is a customer, a business customer, or residential, pays up front for the output of these panels. So they don't own the panels, so they don't have to maintain them and get the snow off them. They own the output of the panels. And once they pay that subscription price, then they get credits for the next 25 years on their bill every single month, depending on how much their portion produced. And we're excited. This week we're announcing the go-ahead of our third and final garden in this pilot program up in the Ashland area. We've had really good response. We announced a little while ago that we were thinking about doing this, but we needed the support. And we've had tremendous support up there. And so in 2019, we will be constructing a garden in Ashland near our service center.
Why did Xcel want to pursue this idea of kind of a subscription-based solar project? I mean, kind of what are the benefits or why are people interested in this model?
Well, as it sits right now, Xcel is real good as far as having a diverse portfolio when you get power from us between the wind, the natural gas, the nuclear. We've got some coal left, the hydro. What we wanted to do, we had heard from our customers that they wanted to, select customers wanted to be a little more green or wanted more of their power to come from renewable type sources. We've had a very popular wind source program for the past few years where you pay a little bit more on your bill each month to subscribe to more wind. So we've had that program going, and we're big into wind. We're one of the largest wind producers in the country. So what we'd heard from our customers is they wanted to try something else, and so we tried this solar program. And the nice thing about the solar program, it's not subsidized by the other customers that don't choose to get involved in the program. For our residential customers, they get about 7.4, 7.5 cents back per kilowatt hour for the amount of production from their panels. So we wanted to see if the demand was out there for this type of program. This type of subscription program is the largest in the state of any investor-owned utility. So it's got a lot of eyes on it to see how we would be able to sell this, and it's gone over very well. I mean, it's exceeded my expectations. And like I said, our Eau Claire La Crosse gardens are 95% subscribed. Right now we're at about 70% for our Ashland garden, and I think we'll be fully subscribed by the end of the summer.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about continued investments in solar and other renewable energy sources. We're here with Mike Harrow from Xcel Energy, Craig Harms from Dairyland Power Cooperative, and Blaine Marcoux from Aquila Solar. Blaine, you represent kind of a different perspective in this conversation, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your business, Aquila Solar.
Well, Aquila Solar, we're located in Wabasha, and we have an office in La Crosse. And our focus is on the people and the businesses that can put an array on their own property. They buy the array, we install the array, we do the background of the feasibility as to whether what the payback is on that. We're doing projects from Minneapolis to Rochester, La Crosse, La Crescent, and Holman, and on Alaska. And now we're moving into western Wisconsin, more up by Eau Claire and Durand.
Who are your typical customers that want to invest in their own solar projects?
It's usually property owners. They call us because they like the idea of being in solar, but only 25% of properties can put solar on their properties, and the rest would go to these solar gardens, because people that have apartments or condominiums or shade, they live in the woods, so then they would subscribe to the solar garden.
When I was looking at your website, one thing I thought was interesting was, you specifically mentioned farms or agricultural, businesses as maybe a possible candidate for these sorts of projects. I wonder if you could talk about, if we're seeing farmers invest in solar projects or maybe have in the past.
We've been mainly focusing on homes, which would be 10 kilowatts to businesses that are 40 kilowatts. But now we are working with farmers that have a bigger need and lots of land and pole buildings that point towards the sun. So that is something else that they could utilize.
What's competition like in the market in this area? Are there a lot of businesses offering the services that you do?
Well, Aquila is number one in southeastern Minnesota, number five in the state of Minnesota, and number 443 of the 500 in the U.S. So in this area, there are some other companies. There's competition, but there's a lot of roofs and places for gardens in this area.
Mike, you mentioned that Xcel is planning to start construction on the community solar garden in the La Crosse area this summer. And, I just want to touch on the fact that I believe that Xcel has maybe had some delays in this project, right? I believe this project was supposed to be completed prior. And I wonder if you could just talk about, kind of what's been going on.
Well, we would have liked to get the La Crosse garden going a little bit sooner. We had trouble. We work with developers when we're doing these projects, and the original developer we had on the La Crosse garden, we had to move on from that developer, and they were having difficulties finding the right site. And so we did change developers. We're with a developer called One Energy right now, and I believe they're the ones that are doing some of the Organic Valley projects coming up. So we're partnering with them. They're also going to be our developer in our Ashland, at our Ashland site also. So it was delayed a little bit, but actually there are still benefits. So what we did is all the people that had signed up last year, all the customers, what we did is we are sourcing their solar out of either the Eau Claire garden or some garden capacity we have up in Minneapolis. So I mentioned earlier that, you get the credits for 25 years. Those people that signed up for the La Crosse garden are actually going to get 25 years plus about a year because we signed them up. We made the commitment that we're going to have these gardens up and running. We had their money. So they've been getting credits on their bills. And then once our garden is completed in La Crosse, then a 25-year timer will start. So it was a real good solution, and we continue to do that and will continue to do that for customers that sign up in the Ashland area as we go forward.
Can you talk a little bit about what goes into siting these sorts of projects? I mean, is it sometimes difficult to find a good location?
It is. You have to, if you're near a town or village, you have to get permits. You have to have the right field. You have to have the right orientation. We're looking at 7 to 10 acres of property. So it would have been very difficult for us to site one in the middle of La Crosse. People like to see these things, and that's the one hard thing. Blaine mentioned, not every customer can host the panels. So we have to go out into the country a little bit, or actually the site in Eau Claire is an old landfill site. So that's a very good reuse for that site. You know, one benefit of our delay that we had here, though, is that the original site in Eau Claire is a fixed site, fixed solar project, meaning the panels all just face south. Our next two projects will be tracking systems. So they will track with the sun, and that increases the efficiency. And the other benefit is since the delay, the prices of the solar panels have come down. And so originally we were over $1,700 a kilowatt, and now it's $1,600. So the prices went down, the efficiency is up, and like I said, by the end of next year, we'll have all three gardens in operation.
Craig, has Dairyland also just experienced, you know, the need to kind of find a good site for their solar projects and complications with that?
Actually, Dairyland doesn't own these projects. These are all power purchase agreements. So the developers themselves, they own and maintain, they install and operate the facilities. And so they actually go out there and secure the lease agreements with the landowners. And so that's kind of where they're at with our three new projects right now, is they're out there wrapping up those lease agreements. They're meeting with the local governmental officials to see what permitting is going to be required. Then they'll move into engineering and design of the facilities. And then hopefully sometime later this summer, early in the fall, they'll start construction. And weather and permits cooperating, they should be done by the end of the year.
You mentioned earlier that you feel like, you know, communities want to see these projects. But, you know, I know in the past there have been concerns from different communities, not just about solar, but other projects of concerns about, you know, how it affects the landscape. I mean, do you think people's minds are changing about these sorts of projects?
Well, we certainly have to be sensitive about where we site these projects. And again, since Dairyland is not the owner, and since most of our service area is rural, it hasn't been a problem up to this point to be able to go out and find land, agricultural land, green space, whatever, to site these projects. And they are small in scale. But certainly as projects get larger in scale, there is that potential for, you know, concern on the part of the public. Yes.
I also want to bring up, I know that these sites are also doubling as pollinator habitat.
Sure.
And I wonder if you could talk about kind of how that got started.
Yes. The developers have partnered with a company out of the Twin Cities called Prairie Restorations. And they work with the developer to go out there and plant and maintain native vegetation. And it's actually very special in that it really helps the native bee and bird and butterfly population proliferate. And I think it really beautifies the site as well. So the projects that we've done to date, and then the three that we're going to add, should result in about 250 acres worth of prairie.
That's Craig Harms, Business Development Manager for Dairyland Power Cooperative, here with us today to talk about regional solar energy projects and how the renewable resource is shaping the future of the energy market. Also joining us is Mike Harrow from Xcel Energy and Blaine Marcoux from Aquila Solar. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Mike brought up an interesting point of kind of how technology around solar continues to improve. And, you know, I wonder, Blaine, if you could talk about what sort of changes in technology we've seen as far as solar and how that's really kind of shaping the industry.
Well, the price has gone down, so it's cheaper to build an array than it was a few years ago. We use Tier 1 panels for everything we do, and we work with the companies with the inverters and the optimizers that have been had long track records of doing sites all over the world. They continue to modernize their equipment, but it's the technology has been proven over the years, and so it's not much to improve on, but there's always something.
I know in the past there's also been sometimes tax credits that help people access solar projects. Is that still something that, you know, people can access and for if they want to invest in these sorts of projects?
Well, right now there's a federal tax credit for 30% of your array. So that is if you put in an array, you can either pay the federal government 30% of the array, or you can apply that money to your project. It's going to be 30% this year and 30% next year, and then it goes down to 26% and 20% and then 10% by 2022. So, and then the utilities also offer incentives. The Focus on Energy in Wisconsin has an incentive, and then in Minnesota we were working with the Made in Minnesota program, which ended last year, and now Minnesota has a solar rewards program that you can also apply for. We do all that work for the client. They call us up. We can look at their home on Google Earth and determine if it's a good site before we even go out on the site. We ask for their 1 year usage of electricity, and then we visit the site and we put all the variables together as to the incentives, the tax credits, what they'll be producing and using, and we'll come up with a proposal and what the return on investment is. And that's usually 7 to 10 years.
Are you concerned with the changes we've seen in, federal tax law and those sorts of conversations? Is there concern that these tax credits might not exist always?
There is concern, but I think as time goes on, solar is going to grow regardless. And people call us. We don't really do. They're looking, and so what's good for that is that they're already interested in it for variable reasons. And so it's going to change, but who knows what else will happen in 5 years from now.
Mike, you mentioned that Xcel has seen a lot of interest in the solar projects, being 90% subscribed in these sorts of sites. I mean, what do you think is really driving interest in these sorts of projects?
Well, I think it varies with customer. We've had good response from our residential customers, but we've also had good response from some commercial and industrial and business customers, governmental entities. So it really, some just want to do the right thing. Some want to, a lot of them said, I've been thinking about solar, but I don't know if I want all these panels all over my yard, or business may say, we want to expand over there. So I'd hate to tie that up with panels. Some say, I don't want to put the solar panels on my flat roof because there's penetrations there, it could leak. And so what seems to resonate with ours is that it's pretty simple. You fill out a pretty simple contract, you subscribe, you turn in the money, and then you just see the credits on your bills, and you don't have to maintain it, you don't have to worry about it. So it's, I would say the reasons vary with people, but it seemed to hit a chord, and usually it does take a one-on-one explanation. And for a lot of our business customers, we've gone out and face-to-face meetings with them, explained how the program works, because it's a little different than what people are used to. For the a lot of the residential customers, they've attended our 60 minutes of solar presentations that we've given. Our last one is in La Crosse this week at the Lunda Center. And so those type of outreach efforts have helped sell the program.
Yeah, what are you kind of, you know, hoping to express in these public meetings that you've been holding about the projects?
Well, we have a PowerPoint, and we go through just the basics of it, and so people understand what they're getting into if they want to sign up for it. And at these meetings, we actually have someone there, or two people actually, that will go online and figure out what the usage is of the customer. So, for example, a residential customer may say, hey, I'd like to put, you know, get involved in solar and cover half of my usage. Well, they can help them out with that right online, and sign them up, you know, there, or they can sign up later. So, you know, it's just really a good opportunity to explain the program so people know what they're committing to, because it's a 25-year commitment. Now, if people move, they can bring their subscription with them to their new house if it's within our territory. If they go over, you know, outside of our territory, they can sell that back to us for the prorated portion. So it's a pretty good program in that way, but it is a long-term commitment.
Blaine, what do you mentioned that people seek you out, you know, your business out, and I wonder what you find is driving people to want to invest in solar.
Well, a lot of them see it's something good for the environment. They are conscious of that. And you can save money on your energy bill. It may have a 7 to 10 year payback, but the panels are all warrantied for 25 years. And of course, the federal tax credits that are in place right now. And they add value to your home for resale, and they add value, but they don't assess the value for higher taxes on your property. And then the next step that we're going back to our customers, and we are looking at the Tesla Powerwall, so they can switch over and use the energy that they're producing in downtime. And with the solar rewards, it's you can do 120% of your usage to build a system for people are looking. We had a client in Rochester that they built a system, then they went to electric heat and bought a Tesla. So they're kind of looking for to put everything in together.
Craig, what do you think is you know, what's the landscape like for solar in Wisconsin right now? I mean, how do we compare maybe to other states in this region?
Well, certainly, I don't think there is as much solar penetration in the state of Wisconsin as there might be in southwest part of the country, California, Arizona, Colorado, thereabouts. But again, as Blaine mentioned, that price continues to come down, and certainly people are interested in protecting the environment. They think that renewable energy just makes sense. And so I think we're certainly going to see more of that coming in the state of Wisconsin and in the neighboring states.
Craig Harms, Business Development Manager for Dairyland Power Cooperative, is here with us today to talk about the regional market for solar energy. He's joined by Blaine Marcoux of Aquila Solar and Mike Harrow from Xcel Energy. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on renewable energy projects in the region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Darylin Power Cooperative recently announced it's building three new solar gardens in Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois. And Xcel Energy is moving forward with solar gardens in La Crosse and Ashland. They're some of many companies and individuals investing in rural energy around the Cooley region and Wisconsin. Joining us now to talk about these projects and the future of the market are Craig Harms, Business Development Manager for Darylin Power Cooperative, Mike Caro, Community Service Manager for Xcel Energy, and Blaine Marcoux, one of the principal owners of Aquila Solar in Wabasha and La Crosse. So it's been about 2 years since we had both Craig and Mike here on the show to talk about solar energy projects. And, you know, Craig, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what are some of the biggest changes we've seen in solar or other renewable energy, just kind of the industry in general over the last 2 years?
Well, I think certainly the interest continues to build, and Mike, of course, talked about community solar projects. 19 of our 24 electric cooperatives have community solar projects. These are in addition to Darylin's projects. And in fact, of our 15 current utility solar projects, our electric cooperatives have piggybacked onto 10 of those projects to build their own community solar projects. So there continues to be that growing interest on the part of the public out there. And of course, as electric cooperatives, we're nonprofits and member-owned. And our local cooperatives listen to those members. And these are the kinds of projects that we're responding to.
I know when we had you back on the show in 2016, you mentioned that that was a hope of Darylin's to see more local investment in solar projects. And so, you know, that's interesting that you have seen it. What makes it easy for communities to maybe then piggyback on some of these projects that Darylin has been a part of?
Well, obviously, when you have a project of a larger scale that's going to happen, economies of scale comes into play. You say, oh, if you build that a little bigger, can I take advantage of the price that you got for building that larger project or those multiple projects? So that's enabled some of these community solar projects to happen in those communities and to be more economical for those members.
Mike, I would pose a similar question to you. I wonder what you feel like have been the biggest changes in the last 2 years in just kind of the renewable energy market.
Well, I think, like Craig mentioned, I think a continued interest in solar, and I think that's partly driven by maybe people getting more used to it and the prices going down and the continuation of subsidies. We've seen on a little bigger scale, you know, because we're in 8 states, we're a fairly large utility. We've seen a continued interest from our company actually in wind generation. And we, you know, we're one of the largest wind producers in the United States, and we have been for 10 years running. And in fact, our next set of new generation is going to be all wind. And these are big farms. And so we've seen that evolving. And I would say the third thing is just a little bit more work in electric vehicles and battery storage. I think that's sort of the next shoe to drop here. And maybe when we meet in 2 years again, we can talk about those things. But those are the types of things, you know, where I think things seem to be going. In addition, you know, after we're done with these three gardens, we're going to reset and figure out what we should continue to offer. And it may be something where a customer can, you know, instead of a solar connect, maybe it's a renewable connect where they can sort of dial up and say, you know, I'd like a little bit more wind, a little bit more solar and some hydro, and how do we package that? And so we're looking at our Minnesota company that has a program similar to that to see if that's something or something similar that we could offer here in Wisconsin.
You know, I think it's interesting kind of the interplay between all the different sorts of renewable energy sources we have. And, you know, I wonder if, Is there kind of a give and take between the different kinds, say between wind and solar, where they're competing for the same customer base, or do you think that there's maybe kind of different customers or consumers interested in different areas?
I mean, that's a great question. I think they compete in a way, but I've met with a lot of our larger customers and asked them, what's their corporate philosophy, and everyone seems to be a little bit different. And so that's the challenge, I think, for utilities, is to look at those differences and come up with a program or a pilot project or whatever that can maybe fit in with those other customers and with a similar set of customers. So, things are changing, and it's an exciting change. But like I said, I don't know if they compete with one another, but what I have to keep telling people is I don't see a time when we're totally renewable as far as how we produce power to get to our customers. We are going to have to still have some type of a base load power supply, whether that's nuclear for us or coal, some percentage of coal, which our coal has really dropped off over the years, or natural gas, because when the wind doesn't blow, you have to have some way to produce energy. And so that continues to be a 10 to 20 to 30 year outlook type planning exercise that I think consumers need to understand, that we're trying to provide reliable power as much as we can. But we have to look at those other sources too.
Craig, what are your thoughts on this idea that, as much as there is this continued investment in renewable energy, that it may not ever be 100%?
Yes. Darrellin announced last year the Quilt Block wind farm down in southwest Wisconsin, which is 49 turbines down there, 98 megawatts in scale. We've got another new project in north central Iowa. And our planning team continues to look at larger scale solar and wind projects. We see more of those projects happening in the future. Last year, we also announced a partnership with Minnesota Power in northern Wisconsin to build the Nemadji Trail Energy Center up there, which is a gas generation plant. And the advantages of that plant is it follows renewables real well. As Mike said, renewables are intermittent. The wind doesn't blow all of the time. The sun doesn't shine all of the time. And that gas plant in the near future will be able to ramp up and down real quickly to follow those renewables that are out there. Now, beyond that, looking even further, I know Darrellin is strongly considering some kind of pilot energy storage system, batteries. And I think we're going to continue to see advancements in battery technology. And so that's something that we're watching with great interest, that we'll be able to accommodate more renewable projects as well.
I know that battery technology has in the past been something that has kind of held solar back. And, Blaine, I wonder if you can talk about kind of where we stand with battery and what we need to make solar more, reliable in the future.
Well, the Tesla 1 has already been discontinued. Now there's a Tesla 2 Powerwall. And at this point, it's very hard to get. They're producing them. They're selling faster than they can produce them. They're about another $10,000, and that'll. I'm sure that there'll be a Tesla 3, probably before too long.
Do you think there is enough focus being put on battery technology and developing this sorts of technology?
I think that it's being looked at more closely. Not everyone, is interested in batteries. With net metering, you produce the energy, you use the energy, and then if you overproduce the energy, you sell it back to the utility, which is, for most people, that's just fine. They're not in the middle of nowhere or afraid of a power outage. So it doesn't work for everybody, but I think it's still going to be, there's a lot to learn and a lot to be developed.
That's Blaine Marcoux, one of the principal owners of Aquila Solar in Wabasha and La Crosse, here with us today to talk about regional solar energy projects and how the renewable resource is shaping the future of the energy market. Also joining us is Craig Harms from Dairyland Power Cooperative and Mike Harrow from Xcel Energy. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Craig, now that, you know, obviously Dairyland is investing in these three new solar gardens, but what's next for the cooperative? I know you mentioned looking at these battery technology, but, you know, what other projects are kind of in the mix?
Wow. We're currently looking at our resource strategic plan for the future. And as I mentioned, we already have this major gas facility that will be constructed and brought online hopefully by 2025 to meet our advancing renewable generation portfolio. And again, we continue to look at utility scale battery storage. Now this is placement of batteries out there by substations or in other areas where they can fill in the gap when these renewable resources are intermittent. They can provide help when we have power quality issues as well. There's a lot of excitement in battery technology, and the technology itself continues to improve. So this is something that we continue to evaluate and look pretty hard at in the future.
Mike, you're starting construction on the project in La Crosse this summer, soon to be starting in Ashland. What else is next for Xcel Energy when it comes to renewable energy?
Well, I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I think our next program will be a little bit more expansive as far as allowing customers to choose different types of renewables that they would maybe want in addition to what we serve them already. You know, we're still working on that. Our focus has been to really work on the subscriptions for our three solar gardens, and like I said, I think we've been real successful at that. And so we're currently talking to customers and figuring out what they want, and talking to the commissioners and trying to develop a program that would work and would be successful. And on the utility side, you know, we just announced 1,500 megawatts of additional wind on our system, so we'll continue with that. By the mid-2020s, we're going to be decommissioning our coal plants in Sherco, which is northeast of Minneapolis, and we're taking three units down and replacing with one natural gas unit. That will leave us with one large base or coal plant on our system. We also continue with large solar resources in mostly Colorado, New Mexico, Texas. And then we are doing some pilot programs with solar and batteries to try to figure out how we can integrate batteries into our solar fields. And so that work will continue also.
Do you think we'll ever see, you know, we've seen a lot of investments in wind projects to the west of us, and I wonder if we'll ever see kind of those scale projects in the Wisconsin area.
Well, you know, there's I drove this winter through the central part of the state, and that's the closest I've seen to what they have out in Minnesota, you know, with multiple wind turbines. I know personally for our company, I don't think we will put our wind resources here in Wisconsin. We have experience, and the wind just blows harder in this Buffalo Ridge or Buffalo Range area in western Minnesota and eastern Dakotas. And that's where if you take a drive out to Mount Rushmore, you'll be amazed, especially at night as you see all these blinking red lights of all the wind turbine generation and development that's gone in out there. That's where our efforts will continue, I believe. The land is right. The landowners know how the system works. We're experienced at it. We have our resources out there already. So I would say for our utility anyways, that's where we'll continue to concentrate our wind development.
I want to return to an idea we talked about earlier of you know, is the market for solar and, you know, wind and other renewable resources, you know, are these kind of the same people? And Blaine, I wonder what your experience has been of maybe needing to compete with people looking at other renewable energy resources to invest in.
We deal basically with the business owner or the homeowner. And if they've got the location, that's basically where we deal with them. And other than that, they will go, if they're still interested, they'll go to a garden. And it's the difference between ours you have to pay for, there's a return on investment, and with the gardens, it's a different plan. We are also doing group buys. So communities, we work with the town of Holman and Holland and Onalaska, where groups got together of housing developments, and they've decided that the community wanted to do it. So we would come in and do the group install, which would save them money. So we're seeing that as something. But our focus is on location.
Yeah, what sort of cost savings are there to doing that sort of group buy?
It depends on the size of the group. So we analyze each group and work with them and go out and do meetings with them to see if it's right for them.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as being kind of the next steps for your business?
More agricultural arrays. We've got interest in dairy farms around the Durand, Eau Claire area that are, or other farmers that are interested in that. So, and we've got, now we're going into larger manufacturing here in La Crosse and Red Wing are a couple focuses that we're working on. It's to do a feasibility study and to see what works for them as well.
What would that sort of project look like?
A combination of rooftop tracking systems, gardens that would work on those sites.
Yeah, I feel like there has been you know, some thinking and innovation in kind of where to put these sorts of panels, you know, whether it's on top of buildings or on top of, you know, parking structures, that sort of thing. I mean, do you see that as kind of a space for continued innovation in the solar energy field?
Well, the group that we're working with in Red Wing, they want it over the parking lot. They want it, they want to have a visual so people are seeing that they're going solar, or that they're conscious of their environment, and rooftops, and then garden as well. So it's a combination of, that's what would come out in a feasibility study. How much it would, a lot of these manufacturing, I mean, they use a lot of energy, and they like the idea, but they're still tied with the grid.
Craig, you also mentioned this idea earlier of, people like to see these projects. They like the visibility about it. I wonder if you could talk about, you know, why that is.
Well, I think it's a matter of pride in being a part of something that's making a difference. And we try to accommodate that, whether it's a community solar garden or whatever renewable program we might be working on. We try to get the member involved, try to have events where we can have them on the site and get them together with the developers and to get more information, educated, informed, take tours of the facilities themselves and in some cases actually write their names on the panels. So they can say, hey, this is my panel. I either own or I subscribe to this panel. And again, there's a pride in participation.
We've been talking with Craig Harms, Business Development Manager for Darylin Power Cooperative, Blaine Marcoux, one of the principal owners of Aquila Solar in Wabasha and La Crosse, and Mike Caro, Community Service Manager for Xcel Energy, about solar energy projects in the area and the future of the renewable energy market. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find our audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.